ॐ सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः।
सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै श्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्म उपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्यां मा ब्रह्म निराकरोद निराकरणमस्व निराकरणं नेत्सु सरात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मात्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। केनेषितं पतति प्रेषितं मनः केन प्राणः प्रथमः प्रैति युक्तः केनेषितां वाचमिमां वदन्ति चक्षुश्रोत्रं कौ देवो युनक्ति श्रोत्रस्य श्रोत्रं मनसो मनो यद्वाचोह वाचगो स उत्प्राणस्य प्राणः चक्षुषश्चक्षुरतिमुच्यधीरा प्रेत्यास्माल्लोकादमृता भवन्ति न तत्र चक्षुर्गच्छति न वाग्गच्छति नो मनो न विद्मो न विजानीमो यथैतदनुशिष्या अन्यदेव तद्विदितादथो अविदितादधि इति शुश्रुमपूर्वेषां येन सद्या च चक्षिरे यद्वाचानभ्युदितं येन वागभ्युद्यते तदेव ब्रह्म त्वं विद्धिरेदं यदिदमुपासते यन्मनसा न मनुते येनाभुर्मनोमतम् तदेव ब्रह्म त्वं विद्धिरेदं यदिदमुपासते यच्चक्षुषा न पश्यति येन चक्षु घोषि पश्यति तदेव ब्रह्म त्वं विद्धिरेदं यदिदमुपासते यच्छ्रोत्रेण न शृणोति येन श्रोत्रमिदगो श्रुतम् तदेव ब्रह्म त्वं विद्धिरेदं यदिदमुपासते यत्प्राणेन न प्राणिति येन प्राणः प्रणीयते तदेव ब्रह्म त्वं विद्धिरेदं यदिदमुपासते यदि मन्यते सुवेदेति दभ्रमेवापि नूनं त्वं वेत्थ ब्रह्मणो रूपम् यदस्य त्वं यदस्य देवेष्वथनुमीमांस्यमेव ते मन्ये विदितम् नाहं मन्ये सुवेदेति नो न वेदेति वेद च यस्यामतं तस्य मतं मतं यस्य न वेदसः अविज्ञातं विजानतां विज्ञातमविजानताम् प्रतिबोधविदितं मतममृतत्वं हि विन्दते आत्मना विन्दते वीर्यं विद्यया विन्दते नृतम् इह चेदवेदी दथ सत्यमस्ति न चेदिहा वेदी महती विनष्टिः भूतेषु भूतेषु विचित्य धीरा प्रेत्यात्माल्लोकादमृता भवन्ति ब्रह्महद्देवेभ्यो विजिज्ञे तस्य ह ब्रह्मणो विजये देवामहीयन्त स ऐषन्तात्माकमेवायम् विजयोऽस्माकमेवायम् महिमेति तद्वैषाम् विजज्ञौ तेभ्यो ह प्रादुर्बभूव तन्नव्यजानत किमिदम् यक्षमिति तेऽग्निमब्रुवन् जातवेद एतद्विजानीहि किमेतद्यक्षमिति तथेति तदभ्यद्रवत्समभ्यवदत् कोऽसीत्यग्निर्वा अहमस्मीत्यब्रवीज्जातवेदा वा अहमस्मीति तस्मिन् गुस्त्वयि किम् वीर्यमित्यपीदगो सर्वम् दहेयम् यदिदम् पृथिव्यामिति तस्मै तृणम् निदधावे तद्दहेति तदुपप्रेयाय सर्वजवेन तन्न शशाक दग्धुम् सतत एव निववृतेनैतदशकम् विज्ञातुम् यदेतद्यक्षमिति अथ वायुमब्रुवन् वायवेतद्विजानीहि किमेतद्यक्षमिति तथेति तदभ्यद्रवत्तमभ्यवदत् कोऽसीति वायुर्वा अहमस्मीत्यब्रवीन्मातरिष्वा वा अहमस्मीति तस्मिन् गुस्त्वयि किम् वीर्यमित्यपीदगो सर्ववादधीय यदिदम् पृथिव्यामिति तस्मै तृणम् निदधावे तदा दत्स्वेति तदुपप्रेयाय सर्वजवेन तन्न शशाका दातुम् सतत एव निववृतेनैतदशकम् विज्ञातुम् यदेतद्यक्षमिति अथेन्द्रमब्रुवन् भगवन्नेतद्विजानीहि किमेतद्यक्षमिति तथेति तदभ्यद्रवत्तस्मात्तिरोदधे स तस्मिन्नेवाकाशे श्रियमाजगाम बहुशोभमानामुमागोहैमवतीम् सागोहोवाच किमेतद्यक्षमिति सा ब्रह्मेति होवाच ब्रह्मणो वा एतद्विजये महीयध्वमिति ततो हैव विदाञ्चकार ब्रह्मेति तस्माद्वा एते देवा अतितरामि वान्यान् देवान्यदग्निर्वायुरिन्द्रस्ते जेनन्नेदिष्टम् पस्पर्शुस्ते जेन प्रथमो विदाञ्चकार ब्रह्मेति तस्माद्वा इन्द्रोऽतितरामि वान्यान् देवान् स जेनन्नेदिष्ठम् पस्पर्शस येन प्रथमो विदाञ्चकार ब्रह्मेति तस्यैष आदेशो यदेतद्विद्युतो व्यद्युतदा इति न्यमेमिषदा इत्यधिदैवतम् अथाध्यात्मं यदेतद्गच्छति वच मनोनेन चैतदुपस्मरत्यभीष्णगो सङ्कल्पः तद्धतद्वनं नाम तद्वनमित्युपासितव्यं स य एतदेवं वेदाभिहैनगो सर्वाणि भूतानि संवाञ्छन्ति
So in Keno Upanishad, we have done up to Mantra 6 of Part 4. In the first part, first question is asked by the Shishya and the Guru replies in the second mantra, there the Upanishad is actually over. But the entire Upanishad is the detailing of what the Guru said. In fact, the Guru's reply to Guru Shishya's question was Shrotrasya Shrotra, ear of the ear. There he had given the entire message of the Upanishad. Now, what is the fruit of gaining that knowledge and what are certain values that is required to gain that knowledge? All these are discussed in the rest of the portion. So, question, then the answer, what will be the fruit of gaining that knowledge and what are the values and qualifications that are needed to gain the knowledge? This is how the whole Upanishad is presented. So whatever was said in mantra in part 1 and part 2, the same thing is being said in part 3 and part 4, but in story format. This is for students who are requiring more detail. Those who have not understood the message given in part 1 and part 2, those who are not that highly qualified students. So in that story, there is a battle between the evil forces and the virtuous forces. That is the asuras and the devas. And the devas with the help of yaksha or brahman, they conquer the asuras. But once having conquered, they forget about it and they get involved in their success. So yaksha appears on the sky. And when they see that, they get scared. They think that still the enemy is not completely wiped out. So Agni goes first to know who the Yaksha is, comes back unsuccessful. Then Vayu goes to find out who the Yaksha is, comes back unsuccessful. Then Lord Indra himself goes. And when he goes there, the Yaksha vanishes. But Lord Indra doesn't give up. He stands there only, he doesn't come back. And then goddess Uma appears there, who is the daughter of Himavan, and then she tells Indra, that person whom you saw, that was nothing but Brahman. That was Brahman. Sa Brahmeti Hovacha. So in this story, all that they are trying to communicate is the same thing. Natatra chakshu gacchatinava gacchatino mano navitmo navijani mo etaita dhanushishya. He said that earlier. It is not, there the eyes do not go, nor the ears, nor the, organ of speech, no organs of perception, no organs of action, mind, intellect, nothing can go there. We do not know how to impart it. It is not what makes you see. Sorry, it is not what you see, but it is what makes you see it. What enables you to see it. That's the truth. So, Indra, Vayu, Agni, all of their powers are actually drawn from Brahman, self within. So, but they didn't know that. They thought that they are powerful. So they, without understanding that whatever they accomplished was with the help of the pure consciousness, they got involved. So the story goes to say that the real glory is actually belonging to that Brahman. So when they went to know extrovertedly, they could know it. They could not find it. They came back. So finally Indra went, but he didn't come back. In fact, he went with so much more proud the yaksha vanished. At least in the case of Agni and Vayu, the yaksha was there. But the yaksha vanished when Indra went. Then, when he had the qualities of patience, perseverance, shraddha, pratiksha and all that, then he stood there only, not giving up. He said, I am not going to get back without knowing who that yaksha was. So there Uma appears. Uma is the daughter of Himavan who represents Vedanta. Vedanta was born in the Himalayas. So Vedantic knowledge, literature is imparting the knowledge of Brahman. The moment you qualify yourself, the guru comes, the shastra comes and gives you the knowledge. And then he says, Indra realized the self. He came to know the truth. And then Agni and Vayu also know the truth. All of them are great, but these three are even more great because they went in the pursuit of knowing Brahman. Then the whole concept is very subtle. So it's very difficult to grasp and dwell upon it. So to dwell upon it, certain adeshas are given. Adesha is an attempt to explain what is inexplicable. Okay. So they try. So he gives the example of lightning. So when the lightning happens, before that you are in darkness. Suddenly, for a moment the lightning comes and then you see all the objects and beings. Then again you plunge into darkness. So the whole world comes, sustained and is drawn back in lightning. Like that, this entire universe has come from Ishvara, sustained by Ishvara, dissolves in Ishvara. This is the example they give from the cosmos. Then they give another example from our gross body, which is blinking of the eyes, very closest to us. Whereas lightning was very far away example, blinking of the eyes is very close. So when you blink your eyes, what is happening is you're closing and opening. But even though you're closing and opening, you're seeing the world. So the world comes, exists and dissolves. So in this also, there are existence, maintenance and dissolution. All this is coming from Ishvara. Not only that, in the first example, Adesha, when he gave the lightning example, even though you see the world little bit, you again plunge into darkness once the lightning is gone. Similarly, with all the other methods, you may just know, but again you will be plunged into darkness. This is what is happening to us. We are here and there experiencing the bliss when we contact the objects, but we don't understand that the bliss is of Brahman. We again plunge into darkness. So this first example can be taken as describing ordinary people. The second example of eyes blinking is taken from the angle of self-realized person. Even though he is very much in the world, his identification with the self is not lost. Even though the eyes are closing and opening, for us the vision is constant. So like that, once you reach that state, you don't lose it. Then the third example he gives is of the thought, which is within us, the closest. So the world starts as soon as your thought comes. Isn't it? We say in Vedanta technically, the world began when you woke up this morning. So the thoughts and the world, they come together. So between two thoughts, the pure consciousness is. In fact, the thought itself is come out of pure consciousness, existing in pure consciousness, dissolves in pure consciousness. But when the thought comes, you don't become aware of pure consciousness. But this, what is this thought? This thought itself is nothing but reflected consciousness. When the thought strikes the pure consciousness, then you say, I know. See, if in a trough, there is water. And the light hits the calf, then the reflected light comes out. So similarly, in the cup of consciousness, when the thought strikes, you say, I know. So what is this I know? This I know is the conditioned knowledge. Where does it come from? It comes from the pure knowledge. So he gives the example of thought. So thought, you can meditate on it. So every time you are having a thinking, any thought process is going on, it could be a reminder for God. Because no thought can exist without the support of pure consciousness. But we are thinking about going to a mandir that is far away. So we have applied for a holiday, leave. We want to go there and have darshan. While the very thought itself is what? The reflected consciousness. That's why we always give this example. Light per se cannot be discussed, cannot be known or defined. So what do they say? What you see is object plus light. So then when the object is removed, what remains is light. So similarly, the thought itself is an idol where you can be reminded of God. So all these are pointers given for our reflection purpose. Then he says, that pure consciousness is alone worthy of worship. Tadda sadvanam nama tadvanam ityupasatavyam. So all these are for upasana, to meditate upon these symbols and examples are given. So that is worshipful indeed, which is known as tadvanam. In other words, nothing in this universe is worthy of worship. Anybody who gives a salary, we say good morning, good evening, night. Sir. You know, Britishers came and started ruling us. Sir. We are worshipping, identifying with all kinds of things which is not worthy of worship. The only thing that is worthy of identifying is your Atma. And the last priority, if at all, is given to that. So far there may be no priority. Or even if it is there, last priority for us. In the mantra 5 of this Upanishad, he very powerfully said, Iha cheta veti tata satya naste. Nacheviha veti mahati vinashta. If you have lived the life of, if you have known the truth, then you have lived the life of satya. Otherwise, it's a total, colossal waste of time is what he says. All of us are colossal waste of time. They're picking up all pebbles and marbles which are useless. There's a beautiful poem called Choice. In the poem, the father and son, the son is playing with small pebbles and this and that and is a little bit misbehaving. So the father gets angry and slaps him. And then the son starts crying and goes and sleeps on the bed. But when he is going and lying on the bed, he cries and cries. And as he's crying, he falls off to sleep. And after some time, the father feels very bad. Yeah, what have I done? I should have not beaten him. You know, should have not been so forceful with him. So he goes to see what has happened to his son, whether he's okay. And by the time he goes, the son is already sleeping. But on his cheeks, he can see all the tear marks. So he feels very sad, and then he sees there are a lot of broken, you know, shells and pebbles and marbles and stuff around the boy on the bed. He is holding on to some of them as he's sleeping. Seeing this, he says, we are also like this, isn't it? We are also holding on to our own marbles, our own pebbles, whatever we value. We hold on to what we value. But the Shastra say, the only thing really valuable is Atma. Is knowing about yourself. Because only when you know about yourself, you get a direction in it. And life becomes a sport. Nothing can thereafter give you stress or strain. But we plunge into life without knowing where we come from, without knowing where we go, what we are doing here. When do you live? You live when you are here. But your mind is going helter-skelter. You're never here. So you're not living. You are merely mechanically existing. So therefore your living starts when you know the truth. That's why we say from that angle that only purpose of life is to realize the self. You have no other purpose. Because at the end of the day, what is life meant for? Life is meant to live. And what is preventing you from living? Your mind going to the past and future. So what will happen to the mind? It will not be there when you have realized the self. It will be in the present. So then only you begin to live. Then only you begin to register every experience. You are in it totally. No, you are not in it. So therefore, he says, that is worshipful indeed, which is known as Tadvanam. So that alone, that Atma alone is worthy of identifying them. That should be meditated upon 24/7 constantly. You got to think about it. You think about it, then you get to that. All beings very much love him indeed who knows it does. See, the outcome of such identification is you also become worshipful. Because you find out, even today in history, we keep studying about Ashoka the great. What do you remember when you think of Ashoka? You say, he planted trees on both sides of the road. The moment he identified with people, he became a great person. So the moment you identify with Atma, which percolates in every being, you identify with every being, then you also become worshipful. That's what it means. That should be meditated upon. All beings very much love him. Indeed, who knows it does. Because the moment you know the truth, you will have that tremendous compassion for all the fellow beings. So you will also automatically become worshipful. Meaning, you will become Brahman. That's what it means. When you put an iron ball inside a furnace, which is burning at 1500 degrees Celsius. You put an iron ball in it, what will happen to that? It will also become fire. So when you identify with Brahman, you become Brahman. You become worshipful. Nothing else. Because all glories belongs to you once you merge with Brahman. This merging is not physical merging or emotional or intellectual. You are already the self. But you do not know that now. So you regain that knowledge. Once you gain that knowledge, he says, you will also be loved by everybody. This much we have seen. So now we have to do verse 7.
Upanishadam bho bruhit yuktata upanishad brahmin bhavata upanishadam abhrumetit.
So in this mantra 7, first the Sishya is saying, Sir, teach the Upanishad. O Guru, please teach the Upanishad. Upanishadam bho bruhi. Bho means Sir or Guru. With Maryada. Upanishadam. He is asking the Guru, please teach Upanishad. Now you may be wondering, what was he teaching all this while? Now the thing is, even after teaching so much, when the Sishya asks, please teach Upanishad, he has no affectation whatsoever. Because they do anything they do with no expectations. Because there is nothing in the world can actually fulfill them. They are already very poor. There is no want. Also, when he says, please teach Upanishad, what it means is, the Guru, whatever he had to say, after giving all the adeshas and all this, he had stopped. Meaning, he had conveyed whatever he wanted to convey. But now the student is getting a doubt. Is the Upanishad actually over? Or there is still more something to be said by the Guru? If there is, please teach. Another meaning is, if I ask you, do you have water? Literally, it means, is there water at your place? Do you have water? But when I say, do you have water? Also what is understood is, can you give me some water? So when I ask a question, when I say something, there is an action that is following suit of that communication, which concludes the whole thing. When I ask you, do you have water? You say yes, and you give me some water. With that action, it gets concluded. So this is why we say science and technology. The science is there as knowledge. When it is put to action, motion, it becomes technology. So he basically wants to know, okay, you've taught everything. Is there anything we need to do? That's the question. Upanishadam. O bruhi yuktata upanishad brahmin bhava. Now the question is asked by the Shishya in the first line. Then immediately the Guru is asking, the Upanishad has been imparted to you. The Upanishad has been imparted to you. Verily, we have imparted the Upanishad of Brahman to you. What the Guru is trying to say here is, yes, we have communicated the Upanishad, we have concluded here. And this knowledge itself is the means for liberation. There is no need to do any action. Okay, correctly understand these things. Don't understand these things wrongly. You need to do a lot of action to qualify and come to a knowledge. But knowledge itself will give you moksha. Adi Shankara, time and again he says this. Even in Akvabodha that we studied, I don't know whether you remember. He says, Pakasya Vanni Vajnanam Vina Mokshona Siddhati. Just like how you can do cutting, cleaning, marinating, all that you can do when you buy the vegetables from the shop. Finally, you have to put it in a vessel and put it on fire. That final cooking happens with fire. Similarly, he says, just like how fire is a direct means for cooking, direct means for liberation is knowledge. So the Upanishadic knowledge, the moment you gain, instantly the samsara dissolves. There is no need to do anything else. Because, in fact, you are doing or not doing your doership, the whole thing comes without that knowledge. Because you are ignorant of that knowledge. The moment you gain that knowledge, then you say, I am not this limited individual. I am that infinite Brahman. Once I know that I am that infinite Brahman, then instantly my identification with this limitation dissolves. It's not there thereafter anymore. With the limitations, all my identifications is dissolved. When the limitations dissolve, I become absolutely infinite and independent. So it's not the action that will get you something. Only things that are lost you can gain through action. You have not lost yourself. You are yourself even right now, but you do not know that. So when you reflect on this Upanishadic message and you gain the knowledge of Brahman, thereafter you don't have to do anything. So that's what he's saying. The Upanishad has been imparted to you. Verily, we have imparted the Upanishad of Brahman to you. Now, Upanishad has been imparted, okay. But why that Upanishad is not getting transformed, giving me that wisdom so the samsara can be broken? Why? Because I am not a qualified student yet. So there are certain values, there are certain qualifications required to be able to gain that knowledge, which will give you liberation, redemption. So what are they? In one mantra, very briefly, gives it in mantra 8. Let's chant mantra 8.
Tasyaitapo namah karme tetratishtha veda sarvangani tatyamayatanam.
Beautiful mantra this is. This tasyai tapo dhamma karmeti pratishtha. Tapa, dharma and karma. Three things he says. Pratishtha means foundation or legs, you can say so. If you imagine a cow, the whole weight of the cow is taken by the legs of the cow. He gives only three. You may say four legs are there. You can add one more quality if you want. But he mentions three. Tapaha. Tapaha. Then he says dharmaha. Sorry, dhamaha. Tapo dhamma karme. Tapa dhamma. And then he says karma. Karma means karma yoga. Upanishadic masters don't know karma. In selfish karma, they don't know. They only know karma yoga. So when they say karma, they mean karma yoga. Tapaha, dhamaha, karma. These three, he says, are this foundation. Tapa, austerity, dhamma, restraint, karma, action, or its foundation. What is this tapa? Tapas is that which gives you the serene mind or sattvic mind. Whatever you have to do to get sattvic mind, that becomes tapas. It will start from ahara shuddhi, ahimsa. Anything that will help you to become sattvic temperament. That is tapas. So tapas involves two disciplines. One is controlling the senses or anything for the matter going into the unproductive channels and dissipating energy and conserve that energy. Having conserved, you direct, that's the second part. Second part is you direct that energy conserved to something higher. So, tapas. Tapas gives you that sattvic mind. The sattvic mind is very much needed to gain the knowledge. Only a sattvic mind gains the knowledge. You remember, even when we started the Bhagavad Gita, we were doing the invocation to Bhagavad Gita. Madhusudana Saraswati has given that Dhyana Shlokas. Om Parthaya Pratibodhitam Bhagavatam. That chanting we have done many times. We even did the meaning of those verses. That is it. Upanishads are the cows. Bhagavad Gita is the milk. Sri Krishna is the cowherd boy. Arjuna is the calf. He is drawing the milk from the Upanishad and giving it to the calf. But even though he is giving it to the calf, who enjoys it? Sudhir Bhoktaha is this. So who are the ones who are drawing it? Only people who are absolutely sattvic. They are able to digest this knowledge. Rest of them, they are not able to. Only a person who is sattvic in nature, his mind alone grasps it. Rajasic fellow's mind is so preoccupied in the world. Constantly running, running, running. What's happening? What's happening? Rajasic fellow is still not woken up only. So one fellow is absolutely asleep. Another fellow is constantly running. Both of them do not qualify to gain the knowledge. But those who have done tapas and have controlled their mind and the mind is capable of focusing, they are able to gain the knowledge. Therefore, first thing he says is tapa. Then dhamma. Dhamma means sense control. And dhamma involves again two aspects. One is avoiding contacting what you should not and bringing yourself to contact what you should. That's the main thing. When somebody is gossiping, you are supposed to close your ears and open your mouth. But when somebody is giving you higher knowledge, like Upanishad or Bhagavad Gita or anything, you open your ears and shut your mouth. There, you shut your ears when somebody is gossiping. You do the ulta. Somebody is gossiping, you open the ears. So, you need to know what can be sent in, what should not be sent. Why deal with it after sending it? The beginning itself you can stop, no? But you have the guards at home. They themselves check, okay, who do you want to meet? Whom do you want to meet? So and so, okay, is there in the office? Have you got the appointment? He checks and then sends. Certain people, he says, no, sorry, you can't go. So like that. Dhamma. Sense control. Then, this karma yoga. Karma. When you do karma yoga, you drop the bulk of your vasana, bulk of your desires. So, tapo dama karmeti pratishtha. These are its foundation. You can add more, mind control and all that. He just mentioned three. Then, Vedas, knowledges are all its other parts. Veda sarvangani satyam ayatanam. Satyam, truth is its abode. When you tie the cow, you have to tie the cow to a particular wood, which is, nicely grounded on the earth. So, he says, satyam is like that wood, which is grounded. Only there the cow can be tied. So, only in a person who is truthful. In that person, the knowledge will metamorphose into wisdom. So therefore, he emphasizes on satya. And all knowledges are its other parts, meaning all reflected consciousness, conditioned consciousness come from pure consciousness. So Veda, sarvangani satyam ayatana. Also Vedas, the knowledge is another. After doing tapas, dhamma and all the other practices like shama, uparama and all that. With tremendous karma yoga, you would have reduced your bulk of your desires. Then after doing all the sadhana, you can plunge into meditation. You can gain that knowledge. So, you will gain that knowledge which is spread everywhere. Veda sarvangani satyam ayatanam. Now when we talk about satyam, what Shakespeare says is, to thine own self be true. And it must follow us night the day, thou canst not then be false to him. To be able to follow our conscience and conviction to the T. Satyam doesn't mean what world believes as dharma and you follow that. That's a separate, very different kind of a way of looking at it. But when you say satyam means being truthful to your conscience. Only in the area of doubts do you check with your intellect and you need conviction. So therefore, that is very important if you want to realize the self. So he says, tapa dama karmeti pratishtha. So you got to gain all these qualifications. You need to gain all these values. Only when you have gained this knowledge, like he says in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, tatvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. Upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshana. The jnani will come and give you the knowledge once you are qualified. So you need qualifications. So those kind of qualifications he mentions here. Tabaha. Without effort, it's not possible. See, after the class is over, you got to go back and do the effort. You got to put in the effort to reflect, think. That's a very difficult part. It's very easy to listen to somebody else talking. The difficult part is to go and reflect. That's a difficulty. So you got to do a lot of tapas. Because tapas alone gives you that clean mind. Because only through tapas can you remove all the bias. When you are open-minded, you are able to gain the knowledge. So tapas, without pain, there is no gain. Dhamaha, sense control. Then karma yoga are its foundation. Satyam, truth, is its abode. Then he says, Vedas, all knowledges are its limbs. Any knowledge is a conditioned knowledge. So pure consciousness is what is, what pervades all the knowledges. So all the conditioned knowledges are its parts, services. Then finally, you must follow your conviction and conscience. So be an independent thinker. And in such a person, the knowledge will metamorphose into wisdom. Because in us, it is not yet metamorphosed into wisdom. It's all just knowledge, just information. Nothing else. Therefore, the Upanishad says, you must gain this knowledge. Next.
Yova etamevam vedapahatya patmanamanante svarje loke jeye pratitishthati.
Indeed, he who knows this, having completely destroyed sin, is established in the boundless supreme realm of experience. He is established. Now, and the Upanishad repeats, like I said, one is either it's wanting to emphasize or its conclusion. They are sitting in the Himalayas and there is no book that they are using, or they are not talking, so they say repeating it again and again means the Upanishad is over. They say, indeed he who knows thus about this truth, having completely destroyed sin, is established in the boundless supreme realm of experience. Swarge is the word used here. Here swarge is not swargalok. Swa means one's own. Being in one's own nature. That's what it means here in the context. Swarga. So the mantra is telling us that once you know the truth as this, Brahman, which is all pervading, which is a pure consciousness within you, which is your real self, then he says, you having completely destroyed sin, sin meaning both virtue and vice. From Vedantic angle, even being virtuous is sinful. Even picking up all the, what do you call, punyas, you will be away from God. The moment you are away from God, it is sin. You have to be all the time, 24/7, identified with the truth. So sin, you will be freed from. All your worries, anxieties, everything will go. This is in fact the meaning of Upanishad we discussed, if you remember. Upa, when you get closer and closer to the Atma within, through the knowledge of the Upanishad, what will happen? The samsara will dissolve. It's all in your head. You created it. Now it's very difficult from this realm. But when you slowly, slowly go, then you understand, yeah, unnecessarily I created it. I'm hesitating to destroy it. But the moment I gain this knowledge, it destroys. Then what is there? Nothing is there. So therefore he said, he who thus knows this, having completely destroyed sin, is established in boundless Established means it's talking about Videha Mukti, you can say. Jivan Mukti is being self-realized while you are in the body, while you are very much alive. Then when you give up your body after realization, then the merger is complete. That's called Videha Mukti. Videha Mukti. Such a person attains boundless supreme realm of experience. What do you mean by boundless supreme realm of experience? All these adjectives you put in there. There is no experience outwardly like that. Boundless. Every experience outside is binding. Only boundless experience is within you. And that's supreme. So it says swargaha. Here the context, like I said, swarga means not some kind of loka. It is the swabhav. It's your inherent nature. That's what it is, he says. So sin is destroyed and is established in boundless supreme realm of experience. He is established. He is established means he is realized as self. Such a person. So twice he talks about established, established. Trying to tell us that the Upanishad is over. There is nothing more to know. Once you know about your true self, everything comes to end. There is no need to know. If you remember that 10-man story, the 10 men crossed the river and they selected a leader amongst themselves to guide them to cross. So after crossing the river, they counted. So the leader is counting, excluding him. So he says 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So he is not counting himself. So he thinks there are only 9 people, but we were 10 of us who crossed. But there's only 9. Now what would he do? They all started sitting and crying. 10th fellow is missing, 10th fellow is missing. Another guy who, another person who was passing by, he said, yeah, why are you guys crying? If they said, 10 of us crossed, one fellow is missing. And he counted 10 were there. So he said, no, it doesn't seem to be. No, we have missed one person. So he made them count. Then he understood what the mistake they are doing. What is the mistake? So he immediately says, you go and stand there to the 10th fellow and he counts. So he says, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And you are the 10th fellow whom you thought is lost. So the very thought of losing the 10th fellow itself is imaginary. So once I gain the knowledge that I am the 10th fellow whom I thought is missing, then instantly all the crying, everything stops. Today all these problems are there in you because you are thinking yourself to be this limited individual. As long as it is there, the samsara will be there. You cannot stop it, I cannot stop it. Whoever it is. So the samsara will continue. Therefore he says, the moment you gain that knowledge, the samsara will go. Till then it will be there. It won't go. You will keep on changing the whole space. What will happen? Nothing will happen. Still the same problem. If there is a problem with the sofa, you got to throw it or give it to somebody else who will use it for some other purpose. So, the moment I know that I am in truth, I am Brahman, and you realize that within, then what happens? Instantly, that very moment, you become rich. Because you have already studied. When your desires are more than your assets, you are poor. When your desires are less than your assets, you are rich. When you are above desires, you are the richest. You want nothing. You don't want to become bound to anybody or any being, anything, nothing. So just continue. So that is the only redemption for all the problems. See, now it's so difficult for us to understand that we are created with samsara. That's why the Guru said, we don't know how to communicate. We don't know and we don't know how to communicate this. You are suffering because of your wrong thinking, wrong identification. But the moment you remove those thoughts and create correct thoughts and see the truth within, then you understand they all living matters. See, many times it happens, isn't it? We would want, we are not probably enjoying the match, the job or something that you're doing. But then you will be hesitating to quit the job. What will happen to my family? This, that, loan has to be paid. Some kind of thing. But the boss is going on ill-treating you, misbehaving with you, all sorts of things, but you're still controlling, because you say, I have to survive. Then sometimes it becomes too much to handle. So it's way beyond your capacity. Then you say, yeah, I'm resigning. You resign and go. After a day or two, you say, I could have resigned 6 years, 7 years ago. But why am I resigning now? That's the question. So when you have resigned, hindsight, you say, I could have resigned 6 years ago. Unnecessarily, I was thinking, what will they think? What will he think? What will she think? So this is the problem in life. You got to, what do you call? You got to know the truth yourself. There's nothing else will give you the redemption. So he is therefore saying, completely destroy the sin. Completely. When you gain the knowledge, you understand, yes, I am not this limited individual. Why will I thereafter beg you? Why will I thereafter beg you? I'm today a beggar, begging for little more material, little more sensual, little more emotional and little more intellectual delights. But the moment I gain this knowledge, I understand all these are within me, I am the reservoir. Once you gain that, that's the supreme bliss. Because that state, there is no desire whatsoever. And when you merge with totality, after you give up the body, the merger becomes complete. Videha Mukti. So Swarga, really speaking, real Swarga is when you are just being yourself. The day you become something else, it's a torture. A crocodile is strong when it is in water. The moment it comes out of water, it becomes weak. So you are the strongest when you are yourself. When you leave there and come, you're finished. The whole world is leaving the self and running after the world. When you leave the world and seek the self, you will also gain the capacity to handle the world. Not only do you realize the self, but you will also develop the capacity to handle the world. That's not easy. But objectivity is needed. You have that knowledge. You are that, but you have not owned it up. So to own it up today, you are not comfortable with this path. But if you do tapas, sense control, mind control, and karma yoga and all that, you will have that ability to see what this knowledge is. It will give you a completely different perspective. You have been imagining all your while that you are this limited individual. You never ask this question. You take things for granted. I'm seeing, therefore it is there. So, that's why they say, do not accept anything for granted. We have all taken this for granted. We have assumed that I am this limited individual. And when I am assuming myself to be this limited individual, then the paripurnatvam is not there. When the paripurnatvam is not there, I will be a beggar. Sinning. Committing sin by going into tamas and rajas. Therefore, he says, once you know this, having completely established in Brahman, you have destroyed the sin in the and achieved the boundless supreme realm of experience. In fact, for want of words, we use experience and all that. You can't even call it experience. How can you call it experience? Because experience means three things. Experiencer, experienced, and the experiencing. When you merge with Brahman, there is no experiencer, experiencing. There's nothing like that. But you have to borrow some words. So swarga, the real swarga is when you are just being yourself. All of us pursue many things, but that's not really going to give me the strength. The real strength is when you are yourself. When you put on an act, you will be in trouble. So therefore, supreme realm of experience, he is established. Now that brings us to the conclusion of this Upanishad. It's a fascinating Upanishad. Very small. Smaller than this is Visavasya, which has only 18 mantras. This also is very, very small. Not very difficult. This particular Upanishad. It's one of the most favorite Upanishads for many. So, any Upanishad, they give you the knowledge of the self, and gaining the knowledge of the self, the samsara dissolves. So you just need to gain the knowledge of self. But to gain the knowledge of self, you need certain qualifications. For that, you need to go back to that verse, tapas, dhamma, then which is self-restraint. Tapas is austerity. And then comes karma yoga. When you qualify, you stick to your convictions and bhakti and satyam, you will gain the Vedas and you realize the self. So next week, we will do the summary of Keno Upanishad. So we'll have 1 hour class next week and we'll do a summary of Keno Upanishad. And after that, next to next week, we'll start Isavasya Upanishad. Let's conclude now.
Om Purnamadh Purnamidham Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyerva Udhyatmanava Prakriti-svabhavat Karomi-adhyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayana-yeti-samarpayami. Hari Om. See you all next week.